want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning and welcome all to this part of the service. Good to have some familiar faces back again, Levi's and Kevin's. Glad to have you all here with us here this morning. It's a privilege to be together in this way. And want to welcome our visitors as well, all of you. And as I remember one person saying a number of years ago when we were visiting a church, he said, "I'm especially glad for all the home folks, because if we would just try to have church with just the visitors and the occasional people, it would be a pretty small crowd." So I'm glad for the home folks here as well. It's been good to be here already this morning, and as it is always, usually anyhow. It's had a full Sunday school lesson, a good devotional, singing was inspirational, so I feel like I've been really blessed in a lot of ways already. I would like to invite your attention to the book of James. There's one chapter that we often memorized in Bible school, and that is James 3. I'd like to read that this morning. Some people, some even Bible scholars, referred to the book of James as a book of straw, indicating that there's nothing of real substance there. And I think we can soon see that that is not true, that there is a lot of value in the book of James. I think that was a quote that came from Luther, actually, and he was one of his works that are still very much in evidence today is the German translation of the Bible. But he was a very forceful man and very, very intolerant of somebody that did not agree with him. He put things right down the line. If you didn't agree with him, you were an enemy of God, and really was very forceful in his presentations of things. James, on the other hand, I think gives us a lot of wisdom of what the potential for man is, where his human state will take him, and where he can find true wisdom. And I think this chapter tells us that. He starts out the chapter saying that be not many masters. And he was, and I think this goes along well with our Sunday school lesson, where Jesus was talking to his disciples about, he was entering into their discussion about who is going to be the greatest. And James's answer to that particular thing, and maybe he learned this at this very point, when Jesus was talking to his disciples. Maybe James learned it from this account that we studied in Matthew, that humility is really the biggest thing. And don't vie for position, because he says there's going to be a accountability that goes along with that. James 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I think this chapter is rich in instruction of where of what is important in life. He goes on to say, he begins with saying that the tongue has a lot of potential for both good and bad. He also says that the man can't train the tongue. I'm interested in training things, and I like to see animals do tricks. We went to St. Louis one time, and I remember seeing the sea lion balance a stick on his nose. And then on top of the stick, he had a ball. And he balanced those, and he did certain things with the ball he could do it. They could teach him how to do those things. And with every time he did a trick, they threw him a fish, and he caught it with his mouth and wolfed it down. It's amazing what you can teach an animal to do. Very, very interesting. He taught him how to clap his hands, and really, it was fascinating. Dogs you can teach to do a number of things, and it's interesting what people will teach their dogs what to do. It's all the way from shaking hands to recently. Didn't take long for me to teach our dog to, we have a big stump out behind the house there, and I say, go to the stump, and she'll jump on the stump and throw something to her, and she catches it. But all I had to do was just put her up there one time, and I say, go to the stump, and I give her a hot dog. And I put her up there, and pretty soon she connected that real quickly. And now all I have to do is go out the door, whether I have one or not. And I say, go to the stump, and she'll go jump up there. She's ready for her treat. Sometimes all she gets is a neck scratched or something, but she still does it every time. And that's just one small thing. But the Bible says that the tongue can't be tamed. Now, isn't that amazing? You know, we can do a lot of things with a lot of different kinds of animals and so on, but he says the tongue can't be tamed. And the only way it can be reformed, it can be controlled, but it can't be tamed. And the only way it can be truly controlled and formed is if the inside is totally cleansed, transformed, and turn toward God. You know, I think we can condition ourselves not to say certain things in certain places. Even a very profane person can control himself somewhat when there's circumstances that will say, hey, that's not proper to say those kind of words right now. But here it says that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The strong language that is used to describe the tongue is really significant in here. And then he goes on to say that you really don't expect two things, like out of a fountain, you don't expect both salt water and sweet. You don't expect a fig tree to have olive berries. You don't expect to pull figs off of a vine. And it's all pointing back to the part that if the heart is turned toward God, then what comes out of the mouth is going to be a blessing to other people and to yourself as well. And he tells us at the close of this chapter, and we understand again that the book wasn't, the letter wasn't written in chapters, but somebody put a chapter division here. And at the end of this chapter, he says, in verse 17, he says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And again, he might be very much familiar with the scripture in Proverbs 9, where he says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. And if you look at each one of these aspects, there's seven of these. And if these are a part of our life, that purity, that peaceableness, that gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Maybe if Luther would have looked at this, maybe this spoke too harshly to himself. Maybe that's why he called this a book of straw, I don't know. But I think a lot of these things were missing in his life. And he was a great reformer. He did a lot of good things in his life, but there were some things that were obviously missing. Maybe he would have appreciated this a little bit more. But anyhow, looking at this and looking at what it says further in Proverbs 9, and it talks very much there about the value of wisdom and instruction. And in there is where it says that you can teach a wise man, teach a just man, and he will increase learning. And a wise man will appreciate reproof and rebuke. And so I think it tells us that we're never to the point where we can't continue to learn. We should not ever think we are at a point where we can't learn anymore, but we should be teachable and have the humility that Jesus instructed, that we can continue to learn in all through life. So I believe that as our heart is turned toward God and our inner being expresses these kind of pillars, I think that it can be a blessing to those around us and to ourselves and to society in general. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.